Amen. Thank you, Matt. Thank you. It's great to be back today. Be back with you and Sarah and all the people, the great church there in Malmo. And I'd like to add my happy Valentine's. Thank you for the story you told earlier about St. Valentine. But this is a day that we celebrate the people that we love the most. And we're having a special day here in Brussels, me and Phyllis and I should say, and because she's my Valentine. Amen. So I hope you've had a great week this last week. If we had a moment this morning to testify, I wonder if you'd have something to say. I pray that you do, because testimony is such a wonderful thing. And I know that God is doing some wonderful things among us and among you. And so I know that this last week I mentioned about praise, talked about the praise of God, and I made a new commitment this week to give God glory every day and to be sure to give him the glory that's due him. And so if we praise him, then we definitely have opportunities and we have reason to give testimony. And today I'd just like to say I'm just so thankful to God for all his blessings to us, for how he's helped us, how these last few months we were in the United States traveling, and he kept us safe, and we traveled back to Brussels. He kept us safe. Since we've been here, he's made it possible for us to get out of the quarantine, and so we're just really, really thrilled and thankful to God for all that he's done for us. And there's so much more that we could be said about praise and love and forgiveness that we mentioned last week. But I have been focused the last little while on the keys of the kingdom, where Jesus said to Peter, Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed on heaven. And it could be rendered, whatever you lock on earth will be locked in heaven, and whatever you unlock on earth will be unlocked in heaven. And that gives a little bit of a different spin on the phrase. It's so rare in modern times for us to bind anything. We don't think in terms of binding, but we lock everything. We lock our car, we lock our house, we lock we lock things up if we want to protect them. That means that if God forbid the police would pick you up and took you to the police station, he probably would not use a rope to bind you, but rather he would use a pair of handcuffs. And the purpose is the same, to handcuff you or to bind you with a rope or a zip tie or something like that, to make it so that you can't get around. And so in many ways, the devil cuffs our spirit. He handcuffs us. He makes it to where he tries to lock us up from the blessings that God has for us. And we need to use the keys of the kingdom to be free. And Matt's mentioned earlier about forgiveness. That's such an important part of our life, that we need to be willing to forgive other people when we're offended. Because in fact, it says... It says if we don't forgive, God won't forgive us. So how important it is. And when we are forgiving people, our spirit is unlocked and we're free. We're just free. And that's how God designed us to live, to live in a life of freedom. And I lost my place here. That he wants us to be free. And so in many ways, God is speaking to us. And Paul, writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4, beginning with verse 4, this is a main passage of scripture that I'd like to use today, kind of in line of thinking, the same line of thinking with the keys of the kingdom from Matthew 16. But here Paul writes, he says, I always thank God for you because of this, of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him, you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because your testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with the Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. So let's look at four elements of this passage. I want to, first of all, talk about how he's enriched us in every way. I want to talk about how he supplied us with spiritual gifts that are actually keys to the kingdom. And he says he will keep us strong. And he says that he is faithful. And so let's pray as we start this morning. Lord, today, thank you for your loving kindness and your blessings. Thank you that you've unleashed the kingdom of God on planet Earth. And in so many ways, the earth is shaking. So many ways today we see things that seemingly are going wrong, and yet we know in our hearts that it's not that they're going wrong, but you are trying to direct people's minds and their thoughts toward you, towards the power of the kingdom of God. And so today, Lord, as we talk about this passage of scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I pray, Lord, that these things will just become real to us, that we will apply them to our lives, and we will allow them to be of use to you in your kingdom, and you will help us to be effective Christians, effective people in the Church of Jesus Christ on planet Earth in the year 2021. And Lord, for that, we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So it says here, he has enriched you in every way. So often we look at wealth in the wrong way. We're expressly told in scripture not to compare ourselves, but we often get envious of other people when it comes to wealth. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, it says, we do not dare classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves, they compare themselves with themselves. It says they are not wise. And so what Paul is trying to say to us when it comes to wealth and when it comes to the blessings and being in, he says here, we're enriched in every way, that if we're looking at our physical wealth, that it's not wise to compare ourselves with each other or with other people. But how can we keep from doing that? I mean, look at Carl Gustav's house, Carl, the King of Sweden's house. Everyone wants to live there. But I can tell you, I don't want to live there. I don't want to live there. I'm perfectly happy in my little apartment where I can clean up myself. I can answer the door myself. I can handle all the things about my house and not have a battery of people, a host of people necessary to take care of my house like many rich people would have to have. I'm perfectly content taking care of everything in my house. I sweep the floor. I mop the floor. I take care of it. But there are people that are much more wealthy than we are. And so often we get the attitude in our hearts, well, we want that, or we covet what they've got, or that sort of thing. Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul is outlining a whole list of his struggles that have been predicted. You know, when Ananias anointed him or laid hands on him, when Paul was the Jewish Pharisee who was killing Christians, and Ananias laid hands on him, God, through Ananias, spoke to him and told him of all the things that he was going to do, the powerful work that he was going to have, how he was going to be able to initiate the church in so many ways. But he also talked about the struggles that were coming to him. In verse 6, verse 10, at the tail end of this list, he says, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything. Think of it, having nothing and possessing everything. And in the spirit, in a spiritual sense, that's what God says to us. He said, you may feel like you don't have anything, but God wants you to know that he has made you rich in everything. And so may have nothing, yet we possess everything. Verse 5 specifically says, going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5, specifically says, enriched in every way, in all your speaking, and in all your knowledge. And that's what people need. The world needs what the world needs, and it's what God wants to help us with. He wants to enrich us with knowledge. He wants us to enrich us in every way. And so when we come to Christ, we need to understand that when it comes to spiritual things, he wants to make us exceedingly wealthy. He wants to make us exceedingly rich. However, 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, it says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. The key words here are as your soul prospers. So Paul is speaking to us. He wants us to get it in our mind that we are exceedingly wealthy, that he wants to enrich our lives and help us. And when it comes to his blessings, I'm telling you, he wants to just enhance our life and help us in so many different ways. And in verse 7, 1 Corinthians 6, 7, the second point I'd like to make this morning is, therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for the Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. So what he's saying here is, not only are you wealthy and rich, but you don't lack in any spiritual gift. He wants us to know that when it comes to the spiritual gifts, the things that he's giving us, they are readily available to all of us. Now, what we're talking about this morning, and what I referred to last week, are the gifts of the Spirit that are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And they're known as the manifestation gifts that God gives to people who seek them. Now, there are other gifts that are available to us. If you read in Romans chapter 12, there's a list of gifts there that are called motivation gifts, or they're the gifts that we're born with. It's the motivation of our personality. And he outlines 7 different types of personality gifts there. And so we have a combination of those, but they're specific that we're born with. And so they're not gifts that can easily be changed. And then in Ephesians chapter 6, there are ministry gifts. And these are also gifts that we tend to be born with. They're like it says prophet, apostle, teacher, pastor, gifts of helps. Those are things that are just our normal inclinations when it comes to ministry. We call them ministry gifts. For instance, my ministry gift is that of a pastor. I have a great concern for people. I care about what they're thinking. I care about what they're doing. I care about their hearts. And so I want to give my life to be able to enhance that. But these gifts that are manifestation gifts found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 are different in nature. They're the kinds of things that Paul writes to covet earnestly the best gifts. And so we have this list of gifts here that he says. Last week also I mentioned that when we reverence him and seek him, he releases these keys of the kingdom in our lives for use in ministry. And so these gifts that are listed here are the first group is called revelation gifts. They're word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. And then there's the inspiration gifts, different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. And then there's what are known as the power gifts, working of miracles, faith, and gifts of healing. And so this list, Paul writes to us and says, seek those gifts. These are the kinds of things that God will use in our lives, no matter what our motivation gift is, no matter what our ministry gift is. He will use these manifestations in our life for his purpose, for the furtherance of our kingdoms. And I like to think of them as keys that God gives us to unlock locked boxes, to unlock those things that need to be unlocked, to unlock the hearts of people. For instance, the gift of healing here unlocks just a huge array of the Holy Spirit's use in many people's lives. When someone in a family gets healed, suddenly it becomes evident, and a lot of people are exposed to the truth about who God is. I have a very dear friend who, his mom had cancer. God healed her, and he was just this wicked sinner, just a horrible person in so many different ways. And when his mom came to Christ, when God healed her, that power got his attention. And, you know, he ultimately came to the Lord and became a minister and is a missionary to other parts in the world. When someone gets healed, it opens, unlocks the future for many, many people. So today, I'd like us to look at this first group of gifts. The first group, which is word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. And again, I want us to think of these gifts in a way that's not mystical. And you might say, well, how can you say not to look at it mystical, because they are extremely mystical? And I just want to say that these gifts just happen. When we seek a word of knowledge, at the right moment, God gives us a word of knowledge. When we seek a word of wisdom, at the right moment, maybe God will use you to give another person a word of wisdom. And they are just natural gifts. It's just that they don't come from our head, they come from our heart. The motivation of these gifts are through our spirit. It's not knowledge that we have acquired, but it's knowledge that God gives us through the Spirit to be able to help another person. And so in that sense, they're a little bit mystical, but we can't let them get mystical, because when that happens, we resist them. And God doesn't want us to resist his Spirit. And so often, we don't receive from God what he wants to give us because we're scared of it. For many years in my life, I can just say this on a personal level, many years of my life, I was afraid of the things of God through the Holy Spirit because they were so mystical, and I was just not worried. I'm the kind of person that wants to be in control of everything. And when we give our hearts to Jesus, we give him control of our lives. And so he's going to bring things into our lives that we need, and so we don't need to be afraid of what he's going to be doing for us and with us. So I just want us to try to not view these things as mystical. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy, he says. And so he wants us to seek these gifts. We need to be pursuing them. We need to be praying for them. Well, this week, as I mentioned that I made a commitment to praise God, I was just praising God for who he is, for what he's doing, for his blessings in my life, for how he's helped my wife and I, how he's helped our family, how he's blessed us. And I just got to tell you that when it comes to blessings from God, what I said earlier about being rich, I am exceedingly rich. God has blessed us. I am humbled at the blessings that God has given us. But as I was praising him for those things, I was thinking about these things I'm talking about today. And I'm saying, God, I just praise you because at the right moment in my life, you're going to give me a word of wisdom. You're going to help me with my life and give me that kind of guidance. And so the first one I'd like to refer to is the word of wisdom. He says here, God uses us to speak to the heart of a brother or a sister and give them wise counsel. In other words, in the process of your life, God will give you a word of wisdom for another person to help them with what they need. And this word of wisdom, you're going to know it because it doesn't come from your brain. You're just going to be talking to them, and suddenly you say what they need, and you don't even understand why you said that, but it's going to be a word from God for that person. Several times in my life, I've had someone say to me, why did you say that? And I'm going, what? It's almost funny because it comes from our heart, and we say something that helps a person, answers a question that they have, and we're not even aware of the fact that the Holy Spirit was speaking through us to talk to another person. But the person received it, and they applied it to their life, and it was a great help to them in their lives. And so we are able to give wise counsel. Tracy Cook writes, today, this gift of the word of wisdom is in operation in the lives of not only the prophets, but of all believers. It is one of the most important gifts of the Spirit because it not only brings the demonstration of God, but it practically resolves problems in people's lives. And so a word of wisdom is a practical gift. It's something that will help other people. And when we seek it, and when we pray, and when we're willing to walk in the Spirit in our conversation with other people, we almost unknowingly are going to be able to help them with a word of wisdom. Now, sometimes you're going to know it because you know that how God speaks to you, and you know it's not coming from your brain, but it's coming from your heart, and you're going to know that this is from God for that person. Again, 1 Corinthians 12:31, but earnestly desire the best gifts. Paul is writing to him and says, you need to be hungry for this. You need to want this. You need to crave this gift. It needs to be a part of your life and in your ministry, in your walk, in your regular walk and talk with other people. God is going to use you to bless them and help them. It's a practical gift. The word of wisdom is a supernatural revelation of divine purpose, of God planted or revealed to believers. With this gift, the Spirit of God chooses to release God's wisdom about a future circumstance, the cause of a situation, or answers to a problem. And so God wants to use us in a practical way to help each other. In the Bible, there's a few illustrations of a word of wisdom. One of them goes back to Solomon. You remember the story of these two harlots, these prostitutes that came. Both of them had babies, and one of them's baby had died, and she stole the other one's baby. And so the one said, accused the other of saying, you know, while I was asleep, she came because she her baby died. She came and took my baby. And of course, Solomon had a word of wisdom from God to resolve this issue. He told him, okay, well, what we're going to do is we're going to cut this baby in half and give one half to you and one half to you. And one of them said, oh, no, don't do that. Let the child live. And Solomon said, okay. And he gave the baby to the woman who wanted to spare the baby's life because he knew that a real mother would rather live without her child than to see the child murdered or cut in half. And so God gave Solomon a word of wisdom. And in fact, this marked Solomon's whole life. God, after that prayer in 2 Chronicles 7, after that encounter with God, God began to reveal a lot of wisdom through Solomon to bless other people. And as a result, he was a blessing to many, many people. And then another word of wisdom that we see is found in Genesis chapter 37. When Joseph was 17 years old, God revealed to Joseph some of his purpose in his life. Excuse me. He showed him that he was going to use him to bless the world. And Joseph at the time didn't fully understand what was going on, but it just gave him a deep-seated purpose in his life. And I believe that for many of us, especially young people, if you're a young person and you're a part of our congregation this morning, I want to encourage you to seek a word of wisdom for the purpose of discovering your purpose in life so that God will reveal to you some things about your future. he won't maybe give a lot of details about it, but he will let you know that you are important and that he's going to use you in your life. And that's what happened to Joseph. And we see later on in his life how he was a very, very effective, how God used him to save the whole part of the world, to be able to interpret dreams and be able to tell the Pharaoh some things. It was just a tremendous story of how God used Joseph to spare the world. And then another one is found in Daniel, who had a vision of the future as well, how he encouraged the king, how he explained some things about the king. And then John the Revelator in the book of Revelation, all these are words of knowledge that came, words of wisdom that came to these different people to help them in their lives. And then finally, Joel, the book of Joel, we see a tremendous word of wisdom of the coming revival that we're awaiting for, even as we speak today, that we're expecting shortly. And I just know that it's going to be part of our life, that God gives us this wisdom to be able to use. And so if we use the word of wisdom to unlock this part of the key, unlock this part of the kingdom of God, you are going to be a blessing to somebody else, and maybe to your own self. If God gives you a word of wisdom about what you need to be doing or what you need to do, God, through his Spirit, will unlock his kingdom for us, for our use. And it's something that he wants to do. And so I want to challenge us today. I'm talking to myself as well. Challenge you, challenge me. God, give us this word of wisdom to be a blessing to other people and to help us walking in a very uncertain world. We need the wisdom of God to make the steps necessary for God's protection in our lives, in the world that we're living in, even today. Now, the second gift is a word of knowledge. It's in the Revelation category. It's a word of knowledge. It's imparted by the Holy Spirit. A word of knowledge is God's knowledge imparted as a word to a believer to reveal a hidden fact, something they don't know. A word of knowledge can reveal something in someone's past, or if God wants them to be released from something, or it can reveal something in their present. Either way, it shows you that's something that's been hidden, but God wants it to be revealed. Now, we need to be very cautious with all these gifts, that if God gives us a secret about another person, that we keep it between us and that person. If God shares something, I've always been afraid of this. I don't want people telling my secrets publicly. And so when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, he wants us to be very careful, because they are gifts of the Spirit and for the purpose of development in another person's life. And so we need to be cautious in you, especially if God reveals secrets to us about another person. And so this morning, I'd like to just use as an illustration. This is such a powerful illustration, and it's a video that I saw this week of a word of knowledge that was given. And I'd like to just share some of the details of it with you. Not necessarily, you know, if you want to look at it later on, you can get the link and look at it. But there was this a man who was praying and began to pray for a woman. Her name was Evelyn. and he didn't know this person. He had no idea who she was. And in the process of the prayer, he gave her address, her street address. And in process of the prayer, he talked a little bit about her family, and he named her grandson. And he mentioned the fact that the grandson had been in a car accident just recently. And then he also mentioned in this prayer that God was going to use this word of knowledge to touch the family, to bless them, to help them. Well, the woman, Evelyn, wasn't watching, so she didn't see this prayer. And that's where this is so fascinating, that how God can speak to us, how he gets to us. There was a professor at Liberty University named John Duryea who saw this video, and he's fascinated with this, and he's going, yeah, I want to check that out. I want to see if this is really from God or not. He's actually being a little bit of a skeptic, and he was trying to figure out if this guy was really telling the truth, if this was from God, or if it was just a bunch of malarkey. And so he tracked this woman down because he had her name and he had her address. And he said that he found out where it was possible. And he said there were four possibilities of this person. And so he said on the second call, he asked the woman if her name was Evelyn. And he gave a few details about what had been said about her. And he asked her if this is her. And her answer was, well, carry on. So he went into greater detail. And he told her all about it. Well, after he hung up a couple of hours later, he said that she called back. She said that she had talked to her grandson about this. He had been involved in an accident. It was a terrible accident. And God had spared his life, but he had been away from God. And that because of this video and this word of knowledge, he had come back to the Lord. And she began to talk about what God was, 2 hours after this phone call, what God was already doing in her family. And so John then calls the person where the video had come from. And so then this person records John's response, and then he calls Evelyn up and he talks to her. And this is where it really is exciting, what God did through a man praying, someone completely unrelated. He prayed this prayer. This person, this is mystical, isn't it? I don't want to be mystical today. I just want you to know that God knows the secrets of our heart, that God understands where we are. And in Evelyn's life, God had used her for his glory. In this prayer, this guy had mentioned her job, what she did. And so through all this, just to make this story, you can watch the video. It's about 30 minutes long. But because he talks to this professor, he talks to the guy who prayed the prayer, he talks to Evelyn. And at the end of it, when he's talking to Evelyn, she's going on about how thankful she is to God, how God had touched her life. This guy had also mentioned the fact she's 71 years old. And she talked about how she had come to the Lord, how God had healed her of cancer. And at the end, the person doing the video said, I want you to pray. I want you to pray first for lost people, that they're going to come to the Lord. And secondly, I want you to pray because when God heals you of something, he gives you anointing for healing. And so she prayed for people with cancer because God had healed her of cancer right after she had come to the Lord back in 1980 when she first came to the Lord. But what a fascinating thing, this gift of the Spirit that God uses, a gift of knowledge, where the prayer, he didn't have any idea who this was, but publicly he's praying for this woman. Her name is Evelyn. She's 70 years old. Her grandson had a car accident just 3 months ago, and God is going to bring a revitalization in the family and restore the family. And you know, that's exactly what happened. God restored the family. How deeply God wants to touch people's lives and how he wants to use us. And so we need to covet earnestly the best gifts, and we need to open our hearts to let the Holy Spirit flow through us and be willing to say things that maybe we don't come from our brain, but come from our heart, that when we're speaking to another person, we might, we might get a little mystical. But if the person says, why did you say that? We know that God is at work in our life. And even though we don't understand everything that's going on, God does. And God wants to use us for his glory. God wants to unlock the locked boxes of people's hearts. He wants to unlock that in our world today so that he can release his glory throughout the whole earth. And there are numerous other stories that we could could cite here. I think of this is such an exciting story, and I'm not going to tell the whole thing, but you can review it maybe at your own in your own time. But the story of Elisha and Naaman. Naaman was the Syrian general who had leprosy and came to Elisha to be healed and offered a great sum of money. Elisha said, no, I'm not going to receive any kind of offering. You know, what God does is belongs to God, and no, I'm not going to take any of your money. And even though the general wanted to, well, Elisha's servant Gehazi heard that. He wanted the money. And so after Naaman left, Gehazi went chasing after him and said, hey, the prophet said that it's okay, that there was a need, and so you can give us a couple of sets of clothing and some money. And so Gehazi took this money and this clothing. And when he got back, Elisha said to him, did not my heart go with you when you turned back to when the man turned back from his chariot to meet you? Is it a time to receive money and receive clothing? And so God gave Elisha a word of knowledge of exactly what Gehazi was doing. And then he also pronounced a judgment. It was unfortunate what happened to Gehazi, but God gives us information. And so let's not be afraid, but let's be open to God helping us help somebody else, or God helping us with ourselves, God giving us information that's necessary for our ministry, for our life, for helping us in a moment of desperate need. And then the third gift I'd like to talk about this morning is the gift of discernment. It's in the same category of gifts. The discerning of spirits is the gift notice that we call it discernment. It's not discerning of people, but discerning of spirit. Again, we need to be extremely careful when we're dealing with the Holy Spirit, especially in relation to other people. And so often we discern a person's spirit, and we discern a person, actually. And we say, well, I don't like that person. Well, we need to understand what we don't like might be their spirit, but we need to love the person, be forgiving and open to them. And so there's a lot of illustrations of discerning of spirits. Again, it's a discerning of spirit, not discerning of a person. In Acts chapter 16, the great story of Paul and preaching the gospel, and he's preaching publicly. And there's this woman who is going on in front of them, and she's making this declaration that these are men of God. And Paul discerns the spirit, even though what she was saying was what a person would like to hear, yet it wasn't coming from a spirit of affirmation. It was coming from a spirit of judgment, and actually hindering what Paul was saying. And so Paul turned to her after a couple of days, it says, addressed the spirit. He had the discerning of spirit, so he knew it. It was a spirit of pythos, or spirit of a snake. And so the Bible says in verse 16, it says that he rebuked the spirit, and the spirit came out of this woman. And of course, as a result, this woman lost her ability to foretell the future of people, because it was a spirit who was doing all that work in her life. And the people who owned her realized that they weren't going to be able to get any money from her anymore, because she couldn't predict the future like she had been doing. And if you read this fascinating chapter of the book of Acts, chapter 16, because God used Paul to deliver this person. He discerned the spirit. He delivered her, which is a good thing for the woman. But actually, the men that owned her then attacked Paul, and ultimately he went to prison. But again, we need to discern the purpose of our lives. And even though Paul is in prison, it says that Paul and Silas late at night, about midnight, were praising God, and an earthquake came. And do you know that through this earthquake, through the events that took place in that jail, the jailer's family came to the Lord, and many people came to Christ because of what had happened. We would view it as, this is a dreadful thing. Paul did the right thing, but then he goes to prison. That's bad. But yet an earthquake happens, and the prisoners don't get away. And God uses Paul to lead the jailer to the Lord and his family. And it's just, you know, when we understand purpose in our life, sometimes a bad thing might happen that other people would see bad, but we don't view it as bad because we know that God is at work in our lives. And so we need to allow these gifts of the Spirit to bring purpose about in our own life and in our ministry, and allow this spirit of discernment to come. And I'll tell you, it's a very, very important gift in our world today to understand the people that we're dealing with and understand what's going on around us. And again, there are many Old Testament, there are many New Testament, but Old Testament stories as well, how this gift was in use. And I think of in Genesis 40, how Joseph was used by the power of God to discern and bring interpretations to dreams. And while he was in prison, he understood his purpose. Just as Paul was in prison, Joseph went to prison too for doing the right thing. I think we've talked about this before, but Joseph was found to be, but God blessed him while he was in prison. And the butler and the baker who worked for the king were there, and they had a dream, and Joseph understood. He understood his purpose. So he interpreted the dream for these men. And then later on, the Pharaoh had a dream, a dreadful dream. And the butler remembered that there's a guy in prison who can interpret dreams and has understanding. And so Joseph was brought to the Pharaoh, and he interpreted the dream. And quickly he went from being a prisoner to being second in charge, and just single-handedly, through the power of the Holy Spirit, Joseph saved his family. He saved Egypt. He saved that whole part of the world because of the revelation that God had given to him. And through discernment and through words of knowledge and through words of wisdom, God used Joseph in a powerful way. So all that just to say this, earnestly desire the best gifts. God will not put his gifts and his anointing on anyone who is self-righteous or arrogant. We have to be completely dependent on the Holy Spirit in order for him to operate through us. Any extraordinary gifting is entirely because of him and not us. God uses us, but they're because of him and not because of our own righteousness or what we can study or what we can do. It's our hearts allowing the Holy Spirit to flow in our lives. So when God uses us, when God uses you, stay humble before him. Give him all the glory. And when he gets the glory, he will do spectacular things in our life, in our ministry. A life submitted to him will bring glory to God. And when we give God the glory for things that happen in our lives, that's the importance of praise. When we are people who praise God for God's blessings, when we are people who praise God for how he uses us, when we are people who bring testimony. I mentioned testimonies earlier, and I hope that at some point in the future, we're going to be able to share with each other what God is doing and what he did for us this previous week and what he's doing and what he's going to be doing in our future. Open your heart to these gifts. Seek earnestly the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and he is going to use you in a mighty, mighty way. Now, two more things, and I'll be finished. this passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 says, "And he will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." And this is Paul, maybe a little bit prophetic. He says that God is going to keep you strong, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the gifts of the Spirit, he keeps us strong. He infuses his power inside of us. He helps us to be strong people, to be able to help other people. He makes us strong. In our world today, it's tragic what's going on. When people yield their minds and their hearts to the forces of darkness, dreadful things happen and weakness happens. I mean, we might perceive a person as strong because of their position, but when they go home, they're very, very weak in their hearts. And God wants to make us strong. He wants to help us with our life so that he is with us. And it says, so that you'll be blameless on the day of the Lord Jesus, so that when we stand before him, he makes us strong so we can live right, so that on the day that we stand before him, we are blameless. And if that happens, it means then that we have a pure conscience, that our mind isn't constantly reminding us of sins, reminding us of things that we did wrong, but he keeps us strong and we're blameless on that day. My prayer is, God, help me to stay humble before you. Help me to be blameless in that day. God, I pray in Jesus' name that you will help me to recognize sins and weaknesses in my own life, so that I can repent of those sins, so that I will be strong and be strong on that day I stand before you. And then finally it says, verse 9, God, who has called you into fellowship with his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. It's God who calls us. God called you into the life that you have today. If you haven't received him, he's calling you today to repent of your sins, to open your heart to him so that he can come into your life, so that he can be faithful to you, so that he can be strong in your life. But it says, what he's saying here is that God is faithful. That means that God, that we can depend on him. That whatever you're going through today, whatever you're going to be going through tomorrow, he is faithful. He's going to be with you. He's going to help you. Open your heart to him today. And so if you're watching today, you haven't received Jesus, he's calling you. He wants you to be in fellowship with him. He wants you to understand the power of the Holy Spirit that's available to you. He wants you to open your hearts and your minds to him so that he can direct your life, so that he can help you in every facet of your life. Most of all, he wants you to open your heart to him so you can discover your purpose for being on planet Earth. And I got to tell you that you have a tremendous purpose. The Bible is very clear about this. God wants you to know and understand that there is a reason that he put you on this planet. And that reason is for his Spirit to flow through you to bless other people. Our lives are a conduit, like a hose. You hook the hose up to a water spigot so that you can get water from one place to another. Our lives are like a hose that the Holy Spirit can flow through us to touch somebody in some way that maybe we didn't understand or know, or we really didn't even realize it was happening. But God wants to use you. He has purpose in your life. So this morning, if you haven't received him, open your heart to him. If you have received him, open your heart to him and let his Spirit flow through you so that his purpose will function in your life. His purpose will be revealed. And you might say, oh, you don't know me. You don't understand me. I'm so weak. I'm so small. I'm about this big in the eyes of God. Well, you know, like I said earlier, we evaluate wealth in a false way. We compare ourselves with other people. And God doesn't want us to do that, because God doesn't look at us like we're small. God looks at you like you are mighty. He looked at Gideon in, what is it, Judges chapter 6. He saw Gideon and said, "Oh, mighty man of valor." And Gideon looked at the angel and said, "What is wrong with you?" He said, "I'm the least in my family, and my family is the least in all of Israel." But God saw Gideon and saw his purpose and saw his whole reason for being alive. And God wanted to use Gideon. You see, God looks at us, and we are not small. You are not small in his eyes, but you are mighty. You are a woman or a man of valor. You are a mighty person in the kingdom of God. And God will use you if you let him. So will you open your heart to him today? Open your heart and let his spirit flow through you. Paul writes, "Covet earnestly the best gifts." They are used throughout the book of Acts. And God wants to unlock the kingdom of God in our generation. Do you want him to use you? Are you willing to let him use you? If you are, I want to pray a prayer with you. If you are, if you don't know Jesus, I want to pray a prayer with you. I want you to open your heart to him. I want you to receive him in your life, because he's going to reveal his purpose to you in your life. And then he's going to use you to be a mighty man or woman of valor. He's going to use these gifts of the Spirit to make you mighty in his kingdom. So if you're willing this morning, and maybe you know him already, and you say, "Yes, I want God to use me. I want him to unlock the keys to the kingdom of God in my life. I want him to use me in my world today." If that's you, just raise your hand. Just say, "Yes, that's me. Yes, I want God to use me. Yes, I want to know him in a personal way. Yes, I want the Holy Spirit to be at work in my heart and in my life. Yes, as it says in Joel, in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, will I pour out my spirit in those days." And that's what he wants to do. And that's, in fact, what he is doing. We get reports from all over the world. God is pouring out his spirit and is using people, but he only uses people who will be willing to open their hearts to him. Do you want him to use you in his kingdom? Just raise your hand and say yes. If your hand is raised, I want you to say this and say, "Lord Jesus, thank you for what you did for me on the cross. Thank you for dying for my sins. Today I receive you into my heart, and I receive that covering that comes with the blood of Jesus. You cover my sins. You forgive me of my sins. You forgive me. It says, as far as the east is from the west, you forgive me of my sins. It says, you throw my sins into the sea of forgetfulness to be remembered no more. And God, I also covet earnestly the best gifts." Say that out loud. Say, "Lord, I want the gifts of the Spirit to be at work in my life." Say it out loud. Say, "Lord, I open my heart to what you're doing in my life today. And I want you to use me for your glory. I want you to keep me strong, because I know you are faithful. In Jesus' name, amen." Amen. God bless you. Have a great day. Have a great week. And again, let me say, Happy Valentine's Day. I hope you have a blessed day today.